Skagway schedules its first public meeting about the White Pass Tidelands lease, and the Haines Assembly may discuss the police chief position again Tuesday. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly met last week and heard comments from several residents about proposed changes to trapping regulations on municipal land. The Civic Affairs Committee met in December and January to discuss developing trapping guidelines on a municipal level. The state currently regulates most trapping laws, but local rules would add more regulation to trapping on lands within the Skagway Borough. But Committee Chair and Assemblyman Jim Sager said the committee meetings were predominantly attended by trappers. At the Assembly meeting, he suggested referring the ordinance back to committee so it could continue holding meetings on it and gather more input from other segments of the community. Still, several people spoke during public comment. Some did not want the Assembly to add regulations to trapping, citing the historic and subsistence use of the area and activity. Others cited safety for pets and children and hikers along trails where trapping is common and asked the Assembly to continue with the regulation suggestions. Some of the regulations proposed in the ordinance include prohibiting trapping on municipal property within 150 yards in any direction of trails and roadways, requiring all traps be labeled with the trapper's name and phone number, and requiring warning signs near trap lines. Exceptions are allowed for scientific work, government agencies, and people with documented animal nuisance problems who get approval from the police chief. The Assembly referred the ordinance back to the Civic Affairs Committee, which will discuss it again during its meeting on Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. The Assembly also voted to remove an ex officio member of the Port Commission. Mayor Mark Schaefer recommended this move because he said the borough attorney noticed there were too many members on the commission. He recommended removing Dave Hunts, who was an ex officio member and Assembly liaison but is not currently serving on the Assembly. The Assembly approved. Tim Cochran is also serving as an ex officio member and Assembly liaison, and he remains on the commission in that capacity. Borough code states the Port Commission shall be comprised of five commissioners. Two liaisons also serve, one from the Yukon Territory and one as a non-voting Assembly liaison. Hunts said in an email on Monday that he realizes he served on the commission at the pleasure of the mayor and Assembly, but he thought he was a valued member because he has extensive knowledge of the ore terminal and port docking issues as someone who works at the ore terminal. He also wrote he believes his removal was politically motivated because he does not support some of the terms in the Memorandum of Understanding recently negotiated with White Pass. He says it was helpful to have another ex officio member on the commission because even though he did not have voting privileges, the commission does struggle on occasion to gather a quorum for the meetings. And perhaps the most lively discussion at Thursday's meeting was about the MOU with White Pass. It took place after an executive session and without an audience left in chambers. That's when the Assembly discussed the first public meeting on the MOU, struck between the municipality and White Pass for a new Tidelands lease. The Assembly has said it will hold at least two public meetings about the MOU and lease before it is set to go to a public vote, which has not yet been set. Not much has been said publicly about the MOU since it was released a few weeks ago. Mayor Schaefer noted the borough attorney is still drafting the official lease based on the terms agreed upon in the MOU. On Thursday, Schaefer said the negotiating team was prepared to hold its first meeting on Tuesday to present information on the MOU. Assemblyman Gary Hansen, who is the sole assembly person who voted against approving the MOU, was asking about the format for the presentation. Hansen, who was joining the meeting by phone, has voiced concerns about the MOU and specifically the length of the lease. He wanted to know if Tuesday's presentation would allow for questions from the public. He didn't get an answer right away. Mayor Schaefer said the attorney has warned the Assembly they need to be careful to not divulge any discussion or information exchange during the many executive sessions over 4 years it took to come up with the agreement with White Pass. So he said that will limit what the negotiating team and Assembly members can actually say about the MOU, especially with the lease still being drafted. Assembly members Tim Cochran and Steve Burnham said with this being only the first meeting, it was important to present information first, then use consecutive meetings for public discussion and questions. Here's Burnham.
That's what the second meeting would be for. You tell people and explain what you negotiated, and they go home and think about it, and they come back with questions.
Assemblyman Dan Henry, who is on the negotiating team, said he was interested in simply presenting information to the public at this time. But Hansen asked three times if questions from the public would be allowed during Tuesday's presentation, and Mayor Schaefer responded.
Questions? There may be a few, Gary, but we're not debating we're explaining, essentially.
Discussion got a little quarrelsome at times between Hansen and Henry as they discussed the issue of the meeting and Hansen's opposition to the MOU and his concern for how information would be presented at the meeting. Before Mayor Schaefer put an end to the conversation, Henry called Hansen's remarks irresponsible.
Furthermore, that inference that we are going to tell the people what we are going to do is an inference you are drawing in your mind and your mind only because of your opposition. It will be clear, crystal clear and concise, exactly what the information is they're going to be given, how and what they may or may not do with it, and when the next date is that they will respond to it if they so wish. So I would suggest that you yield from drawing any inferences on your own about the way anybody is going to be bullied in any presentation.
The presentation takes place Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. The Haynesboro Assembly on Tuesday night may or may not weigh in again on the police chief position. Interim manager Julie Causey has put an item on the agenda with a suggested motion that the Assembly approve her recommendation for hire, although she's not showing her hand and left the name of that recommendation blank. She writes on the item that it's on the agenda in case she is prepared to recommend an individual. This comes after the Assembly last week voted to discontinue negotiations with its first choice for the job, Richard Craze. Craze was one of two finalists for the job that visited Haynes recently. Bill Musser of Idaho is the other candidate. The Assembly will vote to adopt an ordinance revising the way vacancies are filled on borough boards, committees, and commissions. The group will discuss again the sale of downtown borough property to Aspen Hotels, setback regulations in the general use zone, and Assemblymember Jerry Lapp is introducing an ordinance to authorize the use of ATVs on streets and highways and snow machines on highway shoulders within the borough. A complete agenda and meeting packet can be found online at the Haynesboro website. The Assembly meets at 6:30 on Tuesday evening in Assembly Chambers. Airlift Northwest could bring back its popular membership program under legislation introduced in the Alaska House and Senate. The state's Division of Insurance last November told the company to discontinue its AirCare membership because it no longer met the letter of Alaska law. That prompted complaints to Southeast Alaska legislators, and Representative Kathy Munoz started working on legislation to allow air ambulance membership programs in the state. Several Southeast legislators have signed on to the bill. Rosemary Alexander of KTOO has more.
Airlift Northwest started the Alaska AirCare program in 2008. Nearly all of the more than 3,200 members are in Southeast, a third of them in Juneau. An emergency medical flight from Southeast Alaska to Seattle or Anchorage can cost $100,000 or more. Carla Hart purchased her membership about 4 years ago when she learned about the program through her doctor's office. She says she did some research and figured it was a no-brainer.
$100 to not have to worry if I'll have a financial hardship if I need a medevac.
A number of Hart's family and friends are also AirCare members, and so far, no one has had to use it. It's peace of mind, she says. AirCare is purchased by household, and one membership covers everyone living in a home. The cost is $100 a year. It's considered a supplement to other health insurance. Airlift Northwest Executive Director Chris Martin says the company has always been clear that AirCare is not an insurance program.
In most medical situations, insurance is billed and then there's a copay. What an AirCare membership guarantees you is that you have no out-of-pocket expenses or no copay. So we bill the insurance, we take what the insurance reimburses us. You, as our AirCare member, do not see a bill for any further services.
The AirCare program operates in Washington State as a nonprofit, and it was allowed to operate in Alaska under an exemption. Acting Insurance Director Marty Hester says Airlift Northwest was no longer considered a nonprofit when the company restructured under the University of Washington Medical School.
The program that they were offering was a transfer of risk, and that is the definition of insurance. When the risk is transferred from one person to another.
House Bill 300 and Senate Bill 159 should correct the problem. The legislation allows air ambulance providers to offer membership programs like AirCare and permits the insurance division to adopt regulations covering such programs. Representative Munoz's office worked with Hester on the legislation, but he wouldn't comment on the bill. She says she heard from a lot of constituents when they found out their supplemental plan was no longer good.
The legislation will reestablish the opportunity for companies like Airlift Northwest to provide a membership service to residents that wish to have that extra coverage for emergency transport.
Munoz says more than 1,300 Juneau residents have an AirCare membership, and many of them are senior citizens.
Certainly we live in an area that is somewhat isolated, and people, especially seniors and people facing difficult health situations, want this added assurance that they can get out safely and at a reasonable cost.
According to Airlift Northwest's Director Martin, Alaska is the only state in the U.S. that does not allow Medevac services to offer a supplemental membership program to help defray the cost of an emergency medical flight. In Juneau, I'm Rosemarie Alexander.
For KHNS Local News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Rosemarie Alexander for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.